not agreement on this, but something there is agreement on is the human tissue bill, which will make people organ donors by default. At least that's the aim. That was being debated this week in the Dáil. Owen, why the change to the current regime and how has it been received?
Well, I guess the idea now is it is a fundamental change that auto enrollment, I guess, in this scheme that everyone will be considered to be an organ donor unless they explicitly state that they do not desire to be. And the hope and the aim of this is to widen the donor pool. This is has been earmarked as an aim of the Minister for Health, of the Department of Health. But there is, again, it's been reiterated that the family will have the final decision and that it's expected that the person's wishes will be respected. But I guess, I mean, as with everything, I think there's a need for debate for debate on this. And this is definitely what we're going to see, I think, in the next few days, in the next few weeks on this issue.
Marco Cossig, there's been citizens' assembly on gender equality, the Eighth Amendment, opportunities and challenges of an ageing population, fixed-term parliaments, the manner in which referenda are held, how the state can make Ireland a leader in tackling climate change. Would this not have been worth one?
I'm not seeing the appetite for it. I was actually in the chair for the second stage debate this week, and there was broad cross-party consensus that this is it's a good thing. People still have the option to opt out.
Right, but the state has the first call on your organs when you die. That's a lot of consent to assume.
Maybe so, but I'm happy for the state to assume that level of consent over my body. I've actually had the conversation at home with my people that I'm to be, well, in keeping with green principles, I'm to be thoroughly recycled if any part of me is still any good by the time I'm through with politics. Look, I think it's entirely necessary. Not entirely necessary, I think it's entirely welcome. There are people who are so reliant, and I know of people who are constantly waiting by their telephone in the hope that a text message will arrive and say that an organ has been found that's compatible with them. It can be so life-changing for people who have the benefit of that. This allows for altruistic donations as well for the first time, which I think is really, really important. Those, what's the terminology? I don't want to get it wrong.
Living donors. Exactly. Living donors who want to maybe give a kidney if they feel that should be there to help somebody. Marion Harkin, do you agree with this proposal?
I do largely, because I think if you look, for example, at Wales, they've seen a significant increase in organ donors since they've introduced a similar system to this. So, look, there are arguments both sides. I think the Irish Kidney Association was looking for both an opt-in and an opt-out. And we didn't have pre-led scrutiny on this. Now, I'm not overly familiar with this bill. I know it's happening, but I'm not on the committee. But pre-led scrutiny is always worth having. But given the outcomes of the public consultation, I think most people, including myself, are largely happy with what's in this bill.
All right. Claire Curran, the IMO made a submission back in 2013 saying that while there is some degree of an increase in countries where this is the default, there are other things that may be more key to it, like measures undertaken in hospitals to optimise donor procurement. That's their words. In other words, transplant coordinators and better resourcing of that, and public awareness about the relevant aspects of organ donation. I mean, again, we're back to the consent issue. A grieving family sitting in a hospital where there's assumed consent for the relative that's entering their final minutes. It's a big call to make, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's why it is one of those issues that we really have to make sure that we get right. And I think there is broad support for the legislation and we're supporting it and we welcome it. But somebody did say that to me today. They said, well, is the state more or less, if the consent is not known, then is the state more or less taking over the body and i.e. the organs and it's up to them? And I kind of sat back and thought, right, well, like that is an element of it. And I think in this legislation, yes, we have to get it right, but we also have to make sure that, you know, what the public see and understand in relation to what this is going to look like. You know, we don't want people worried about it or levels of fear kind of mounting over the state taking over your organs kind of thing. We need to be very careful in relation to that. And that's why I think it's really important. A lot of organisations, the Irish Kidney Association being one of them, have made their views known. There was a good consultation and a lot of the organisations do need to be heard in relation to this. And that's really important because this is an important piece of legislation and we, you know, everyone wants to get this right.
What about the hard cases that could be thrown up by this Marco Cosic? What if no next of kin can be found, but this assumed consent exists in the legislation?
Yeah, and I think, look, this is past second stage, and so it still has a long way to run in terms of the legislative process. Committee stage now, Marion referenced that there was no PLS. Pre-legislative scrutiny is a very good and useful process, but this will also have to pass through committee stage in the Dáil, where you get the opportunity to make amendments to the legislation. It's a very important part of the legislative process. It'll have to go through the Seanad as well. What I'd really encourage people to do is to have those conversations at home. I know you referenced an example where maybe there's no next of kin, that doesn't apply, but certainly people should have that conversation at home. Nobody wants to have that conversation about what will happen should I pass, but it's important that the relatives aren't in that position of grief, that they know your wishes well in advance, and I think it'll help a lot of people live happier, fuller, healthier lives.
And the issue of religion, Marion Harkin, if somebody dies and it's not immediately apparent what their particular persuasion or conscience is, but they may have an issue with this, what's the issue there?
Well, I suppose you asked Mark about hard cases, and that's another example of it. And, you know, there is an old saying, hard cases make bad laws. So, I mean, I think what we have to do, and I won't be involved in the committee stage, but I will be watching what's happening, is to try to ensure that the legislation is drafted in such a way to make it as flexible as possible, but yet to have an impact. And it seems, and you did quote the INMO saying that the impact of the opt-in system wasn't maybe all that positive, but we can see from Wales that's one of our closest neighbours, the positive impact that it has there on organ donation rates. And I think once there is communication around this and people are aware of it, then I think there will be very few. I won't say there won't be any, because there's no such thing in life as 100% certainty. But I think there'll be very few cases where it simply won't be known because of perhaps no living relatives or next of kin or whatever.
OK, one of the things, Owen, that may help with that is the retention of electronic health records. Well, and we're not there yet.